Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And we do welcome in the Major Billy Downer from DNR to Sports Talk. Major, great having you with us. Thank you for your patience tonight. You ever like when a fish comes off the hook, you got a big one, but you don't reel him in, or you got a deer in sight and you miss him? You ever go kick a tree or kick a boat and break your foot or anything because you get mad?
People have broke rods in half a lot of different things when they miss a fish, for sure. That's happened throughout the years, as long as there's been fishing rods, no matter what they're made of, somebody will figure out how to break them when you get mad. But absolutely. But, yeah, I just left one of your great heroes. Had the privilege of listening to Tim Tebow speak tonight in Sumter. So I enjoyed the extra minute or two to listen to him doing a series here at a school here in Wilson Hall in Sumter. Enjoyed listening to him talk about when he got cut from the Jaguars. It was kind of funny talking about how he faced that challenge. Anyway. Tonight, talking about a little bit of two things wanted to mention. Just, you know, this time of year starts getting cooler. Everybody's putting their boats up. I want to talk about winterizing boats. We really hadn't talked about that a lot in years past. And I kind of want to talk through that a little bit about what people need to be thinking about that you just sometimes don't think about when you put your boat up or you park your boat and you park it for the rest of the winter. I mean, it's not cold yet. It's not freezing, but it's going to be freezing. If you don't think about some of these things, it can cause issues for you in the spring and summer when you want to take that boat out again. So first thing I want to talk about, and just for me, I kind of renewed my own interest in this because I got a boat. So I'm back in the boat business again with my own boat.
Is something new for you, getting back into the boat?
Yep, buying another boat, yep. I bought a boat, and so I'm back into boat ownership and making me think through some things that you often forget about when you don't deal with a boat every day. But as you get to this time of year, just a couple things to think about. You know, first of all, fuel conditioner. You can go buy the fuel conditioner from any one of your local, hardware store. You can go to, you know, any of the advanced autos and you can get the fuel conditioner, something you can put in there that actually, you know, helps that fuel stable. The stable is one I always think about. But you can put in that tank that kind of keeps that fuel stabilized for the winter time, so it's not sitting there and just gumming up or whatever else fuel does. It just happens to always do. But keeping that, putting fuel stabilizer in your boat, run that motor for a little bit, get that fuel stabilizer in the motor as well. And then also, when you cut your motor off for the last time, before you put your motor up or your boat up, run the motor and let it run itself out of gas. Get all the gas out of the carburetor. I'll just help the carburetor out to get that gas out so the gas doesn't sit in. And hopefully everyone is using non-ethanol gas. If you use ethanol gas, you're going to wish you hadn't, because if it sits in that carburetor over the winter, it's going to be ruined by the time you go to bring it back out. So using non-ethanol fuel is important. Making sure you run the fuel out of the motors. One thing that I always, you know, like to tell people to do, put your foot down, the motor of the bottom of the motor, lower your motor all the way down so water drains out of it. People sometimes will leave their motor cocked up. And I remember way back when I was in the field, they make us go back and make sure all our motors were down. Because if you keep your motor up, water can gather in the back of that motor, rain, water, everything else can stay in there. If it ices up, it can break your prop. It can bust your foot in half, make your foot crack. If there's water in there and it freezes and it gets cold enough, when it gets down in the 20s and the teens, it can actually crack your foot of your motor if you don't make sure that all the water's out. So lower your motor all the way down, foot down, so all the water drains out. As well as your boat, you know, simple things like electronics. Pergo switch is something I always suggest. If you don't have a switch in your boat that cuts all the electricity off so that the battery is not being drained at all, it'll save you come months from now when you go to start that motor back up and the battery's completely dead. Put a pergo switch in, the battery can hold the charge a whole lot longer. Or take your batteries all the way out of the boat. Put them somewhere where they don't get frozen. Is another good tool, but the pergo switch saves a lot of headache. That pergo switch you can put in yourself, or you can go to your local marina and get them to put it in. The pergo switch basically cuts all the electrical drain off, so it's not going to whatever's in the boat, lights, anything else that could possibly drain your battery. So cutting all the power off for the winter. As we always talk about with life jackets and those kind of things, take life jackets out of the boat and store them in a somewhere away from water and the weather and the elements. Put them somewhere else. Take them out of the boat so they don't get mildewed and could be a problem come spring when you go to take the boat back out and you got mildew all over your life jackets, or they've broken down or broken apart. So just a couple things to be thinking about. You put your boat up, you know, put a cover on your boat, keep leaves and things from getting in your boat, staying in your boat. Those are things that won't keep the boat from running, but they will cause trouble for you in the spring if a bunch of oak leaves have been sitting in your boat all winter and getting rained on. That stain, that tannic acid, will stain the fiberglass, and you'll have a tough time getting it off. So putting your boat undercover or buying a cover to put on the boat to keep any of that from getting in the boat is always a must. Taking electronics off the boat, your Garmin, you pay several thousand dollars for, why would you let it sit in there in the boat all winter long and get rained on? Yeah, it may be waterproof, but I'd rather unplug it, take it inside, and put it up somewhere. Again, that would just keep you being a lot happier, not wanting to kick something, as you said, when you get down the road later in the spring. Exactly. So just a couple of hints for boats as we look at winterizing for the winter. Some things right now, even though it's not cold yet to the point of freezing, it is cooler. Most people are going to stop boating. They're putting their boats up. But go back and make sure that you've put your boat up correctly. You've unhooked all the electronics again. Your fuel has stabilizer in it. You run the fuel out the motor, put the motor foot down, get all the water out of it. So when it does get freezing and we do get those cold months, you don't have to worry about it then. Just a couple of hints for this year right now. And, of course, as we get into cooler weather, we are in the midst of deer season. And the rut, as we like to say, is on in full swing. I'm hearing it from everywhere. I'm seeing good pictures of really nice deer. And again, it's that cooler months that get those deer just itchy, and those bucks just want to get out there. They lose that brain a little bit, and they're chasing does. Not that men would understand that at all, but yeah, those boys are out there chasing the does. And when they do that, they come out, and this is your opportunity to catch them where they might otherwise stay safe in their haunts back in the swamp deep or deep in the woods. They will come out right now looking for does. I had a group of friends. We went hunting this past Monday afternoon, had a great hunt, trying to do some doe management and take does, and had pictures of a really nice buck that was coming out in the evening and in the dark. And so here's another lesson for you. When you see those pictures on your camera and you get a buck that's out there a lot at night, even though he's coming out at night, when it's rut like now, he will probably come out in the day, and indeed he did come out. And a friend of mine was able to take that really nice deer, the biggest deer he's ever taken in his life. A lot of fun for him that night. We had a lot of fun talking and going to the processor and just hanging around, and just a good hunt Monday. So it was a congratulations to him, and nice 8-point, biggest of his life. Again, may not be the trophy of a lifetime for some, but it was a trophy for him. And I always like to remind people that like to talk about, well, that buck wasn't really that big. Well, you know what? It might not be big to you, but some people, that might be the biggest buck of their life. So
sure,
he enjoyed it. It was a good hunt. But, yes, cooler weather's upon us, and deer are hitting the fields pretty hard right now. So if you haven't been hunting, you wanted a deer hunt, now's the time to go. Probably the next week or two is really going to be the height of it. Not saying the rut's in everywhere, but really seeing some nice pictures of some really nice bucks. So that just tells me that they are active and they're out there, and just the time to get in the woods is times now.
All right, let me ask you something real quick while you're talking about this. Major Billy Downer from DNR with us here on Sports Talk and SC Wild in South Carolina. I just made the ride up to Greenwood and back, and I went up South Carolina 34. And coming back at night, you know, this time of year, you kind of hold your breath, right? On that road and others like them around South Carolina. I did have, a possum and maybe a skunk run out in front of me. And I did pass a couple of deer, but they were not in the mood to move. So that was good. So I know we probably do this about once a year, this time of the year. For drivers, what kind of advice do you give if you're on those back roads in South Carolina in the wooded areas and it's a coolish night and the deer are running, besides slowing down and having your brights on? And, I mean, I keep my head moving from left to right. trying to keep an eye on the edge of the road in the woods.
You got your head on a swivel, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's your basic advice?
So, first of all, you know, this is the time of year when it's cooler like this. When the rut's on, bucks are pushing does. You see, particularly when it's colder, because it's colder, first of all, animals are going to feed more. They got to create energy to want to keep warm. They're active right now, more active than they may have normally been. You'll see a lot more deer out at night. So, you know, there's that time. So they're naturally going to be out more. You're going to see them more out on the road. You'll see a lot more deer kills this time of year in the next few weeks just because they're more active at night, moving around, bucks, pushing does, whatever. And they're just out running and you know, they're out looking more. They're just out more prevalent at night. Number one, and you get taught this in AAA driving, don't jerk the wheel. Don't try to miss a deer and end up in the ditch. You know, so many people, if you see a deer, yes, slow down. But if a deer comes out in front of you, be careful about swerving too much into the other oncoming lane, because I'd rather hit a deer than run into somebody head on.
Sure.
So you got to keep that in mind. That's hard in our minds to think about that. I don't want my car to get damaged, but do you want to run in head into somebody else, especially on back roads? And when you're on back roads this time of year, good idea maybe to avoid back roads at late night. Go the other way if you can, where you got more visibility. In Sumter, between Sumter and Manning, there's two different roads you can go. We always encourage folks to drive, you know, the wider road, four lanes. You got more time to react than two-lane road through the woods. You're right. Sometimes you don't have all the time in the world to react. So you just got to be careful. Be watching. If a deer steps out, slow down. You can hit the horn if you want to. Sometimes the horn doesn't do anything. They just freeze. Uh-huh. And the other thing, deer, when they see headlights, they will freeze as well and just not move. Just something about that light mesmerizes them. And they just stop. They just stop. And then when you get closer, all of a sudden they can jump out in front of you. It seems at the last second. But again, the biggest thing, don't jerk, swerve, you end up in the ditch or in other oncoming traffic. Do your best to just stay your course, stay slow, and don't overreact.
Good advice. Good advice. What about, I want to ask you this too. Whose responsibility is it to clean up the dead deer along the interstate? I see them all the time with their carcass up against the walls in the median or in the median. Is that a DNR responsibility or a state highway responsibility?
No, that's DOT's responsibility, and they have crews that go out every day, particularly this time of year, and pick deer up off the roads. But good point to be made here. If you hit a deer, we get this question all the time. Hey, people call the radio, I hit a deer, can I keep it? Yes, you can. Do you have to have a tag for it? No, you do not. You know, you report your deer. If a deer gets hit on the road and, you know, you reported, hey, this deer got hit, you know, you got damaged, but the car's going to be kind of obvious or the truck. If you want to take the deer, you can do that. We'd rather the deer get used than get wasted. Sometimes the meat's, you know, in bad shape if it's been hit hard. But a lot of times there's still meat that can be used. And people ask that all the time. Can we eat a deer that's been hit? Yes, you can. Are you selective with your meat choice? Probably. Because where you hit that deer, it's going to be really bruised, and the meat won't be as good there. The meat that are good, and you, if you feel like you want to report that, you can call our Operation Game Thief line and say, hey, we hit a deer. Just want somebody to know. I'm going to take the deer with me. That's fine. 1-800-922-5431. That's our Operation Game Thief hotline. It's also on the DNR. You can go online and find the number as well. But again, it's nothing illegal about taking a deer and trying to utilize it. If you hit it on the road, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Just report it. That way we know it's happened. And so we don't know you're not up to no good and you took the deer somewhere else. Sure. It's kind of obvious when a deer's been hit on the road a lot of times that it was hit on the road. So
big difference than the other way, right?
Yeah, big difference than the other way. If you shoot a deer at night, it's going to be a little bit obvious that that deer was shot at night.
Yeah.
But,
Would you say we've had a good deer season in the state? The numbers have been good. The takes have been good. Is it about what you would expect?
Well, we're still young in it right now. It's just the middle of October. Mm-hmm. We've still got the whole month of November and December to go. Okay. And now the state's in full swing across the state. Deer season's going. Again, the cooler weather in the mountains, all the way from the mountains to the sea. Literally, it's cooler weather. So deer are more active. We're going to see a lot more numbers in the next few weeks, I think, going on for us. So you will definitely see that. But again, good time if you're thinking about deer hunting. If you've been waiting, now's time to go. Mosquitoes aren't out. It's a lot.
Yeah.
A little colder, but it's a great time to sit. Good mornings to sit. You know, around the full moon, we talk about full moon coming up. I'm looking at the moon right now. And, you know, full moon's hard to hunt deer, particularly in the evening, because they wait and come out so late. A lot of deer will feed throughout the night on a full moon. I've always found mornings to be better during full moon to hunt, or maybe even a midday hunt, because deer are just so active at night and they don't come up in the evening. They wait because that moonlight is just so prevalent. And I just think the whole action of the moon itself, they just like to eat at night. So, but we're not in a full moon right now. Looking good. Cool weather. Again.
Did we lose the major?
We hang tight.
Things are really getting going.
There we go. You dropped out there for about 10 seconds, Major. You want to repeat what you said?
Yeah, I said, sorry, we are at the, again, here we are, cool weather. It's the time to go hunting now. You know, there'll probably be a second rut coming in November. It's not over yet. There'll be another big cold snap and another good time to hunt. But right now, this first cool snap is really what gets deer moving. Kind of a pre-rut, maybe not even the full rut yet, but a lot of thick neck bucks out there, which tells me they're running does pretty hard. So now's the time to go.
That sounds fantastic. Work it in with your football and maybe a little golf. And by the way, have you taken the old bow and arrow out on some of your excursions?
I have not. I've kind of gone backwards back to my rifle days and still sit, just sit with my rifle now. But I still can bring it out in the future for sure.
Okay. Major, as always, we appreciate you. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. It'll be November, so look forward to being with you.
Yes, sir. See you then.
Thank you very much. There you go. Major Billy Downer, great stuff about deer hunting in South Carolina. SC Wild from DNR. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow night on Sports Talk.